Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. We're looking at chapter 12, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And our subject this morning, very simply, is conformed or transformed. Conformed or transformed. Well, we come this morning to consider this verse that has at the very center of it the subject of the mind, the human mind. Now, I'm sure that some of you at least would have watched the Jude conference that took place online and at Bedford yesterday. And the subject of the conference was the mind, this same subject, the mind, mental health. And the scriptures have so much to teach us about the mind and about how we can find true health for the mind. And the mind is so important for a Christian. That may be a surprising comment for some people. There is a misconception about Christians that Christians are people who never engage their mind, that Christians are people who just blindly follow a religion. They are stupid people. They never engage their thinking. And that is so untrue. The mind is of the utmost importance for a true Christian. In fact, this is the reason how somebody has become a Christian in the first place. Because a Christian is somebody who actually starts to think about life and the great issues of life, the meaning of life, the true nature of man. Is there a God? Is there an afterlife? The Christian man or woman has actually begun to think about those things. The person in the world on the high street never thinks, never engages his mind on such issues. His mind is lazy. His mind is closed off to these things. But the Christian, well, this is how he has become a Christian. This is what has led to his salvation. He has begun to think. And once we are saved, we never stop thinking. We're constantly being exhorted to think in the scriptures, to meditate upon the word of God. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." We think deeply about the word of God. That's an instruction to Christian people. We read over the Christmas period the account of the Lord's birth. And did you notice that at certain points we're told how Mary, the mother of Jesus, pondered things in her heart? All the things that she saw and heard, she kept them in her heart. She pondered about them. She meditated on these things. She thought deeply upon everything that was happening to her. And so the Christian life is a life of thinking, a life in which the mind is highly esteemed. The mind is precious to a Christian, and we must guard it. We don't fill it with things that would harm the mind. The mind is so important for a Christian. And this verse, well, it stresses the importance of the mind, but perhaps more clearly, it draws a greater contrast between the mind of a believer and the mind of an unbeliever. There's a great difference between the two. We learn in this verse that the mind of the unbeliever is conformed. That's the mind of the unbeliever, conformed to this world. But the mind of a Christian, of a believer in Christ, is transformed. And well, that really is the question that we're going to ask ourselves this morning. Which group are you in? Each one of us here, we are in either one of these two groups. There's no There's no other group. There's no middle group. Your mind is either conformed to this world or it is transformed by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Conformed or transformed, which group are you in? But what do these terms mean? In order to try and work out which group we are in, what does this actually mean? What does it mean to be conformed? Now, if you look this word up in the dictionary, you will read this or something like this for the word conformed. To be conformed is to behave and think in the same way as most other people in a group or society. Behave and think in the same way as most other people in a group or society. And well, we do this by nature, of course. By nature, we conform. We behave and think in the same way as those around us. That's fairly obvious to observe. University students will generally behave like other university students. A group of football fans, for example, will generally behave like everybody else, like all the other football fans. If you move to a new country, very soon you will start to conform to the ways of that country. You'll start to behave like everybody else and act like everybody else. This is natural. This is what we do. We conform. We don't want to be the odd one out. We don't want to be the one on the outcasts, on the outskirts of society. We want to conform. That is natural. That's the mind of the natural man. But we read here that the natural man is conformed to the world. Conformed to this world. What does that mean? Well, first of all, when we read about the world, it's important to realize that in the scripture, and particularly in the New Testament, a distinction is very often made between the church and the world. The church on the one hand and the world. They are not the same. And we have to teach this. It seems very obvious, but it's very confused nowadays. Some people think that they are the same thing. And they try and make the church exactly like the world. Let's make the church like the world, with the same entertainment, with the same atmosphere, with the same conduct, with the same behaviors, with the same standard. That's what we must do. Make the church look exactly like the world. And that's very common. I'm sure you've been to many churches, and it's exactly like going into a worldly nightclub or some other worldly environment. But that in the scripture is very wrong. The church is different. The church is set apart from the world. The church belongs to God, not to the world. The church is God's possession, and it is different. So we have to establish this. There's always a distinction between the church and the world. They are different. Well, we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot love the things of the world and love the things of God. They are different. And it's so very clear. It's such a clear teaching in the Word of God. And well, the world, the mind of the world is opposed to God. We read that earlier in Romans chapter 8. Again, there was a difference made between the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. The carnal mind is the world. The spiritual mind is the church. And the carnal mind is at enmity against God. The carnal mind, the mind of the world, hates God. That is what we read in the scriptures. And so when we come to this verse, well, this is alarming. The natural man is conformed to this world. That is the world that opposes God. And I want to point out to you just a couple of ways how this works out. Conformity depends on a number of things to work. The first thing that is required for people to conform is peer pressure. peer pressure. So many people do not believe in God in this society, you know that. And what is the reason? Well, because none of their friends believe in God, and none of their family members believe in God, and none of their work colleagues believe in God. Nobody that I know believes in God, so I'm just going to conform to them. It's peer pressure. Just do whatever your peers are doing, whatever your peers influence you into doing. You conform yourself into that way of thinking. Nobody else believes in God, so I'm just going to conform to that. Conformity. Are you somebody who's in that group? Peer pressure in this world normally leads us to sin. So often when we commit sin in our lives, or when we commit great sin in our lives, it's very often because we've given in to peer pressure, because other people in our group, in our society, have pressured us into doing something, and we want to conform. That's so often the way. School children, I remember this when I was at school, the first time somebody ever smoked a cigarette, it was not because they wanted to, it was peer pressure. The first time somebody got drunk, it wasn't because they wanted to, it was peer pressure. Conform. Do this. Everybody else is doing it. You have to step in line with everybody else. It's peer pressure. This is a way that conformity works. What is everybody else doing? And by the way, peer pressure never leads to anything good. Peer pressure almost or almost always leads to something bad. If you want to do something good, you're always on your own, pretty much. But when it's something bad, it's always the peer pressure. Do this, do that. Conformity. This is what it means. Conform to this world. Am I speaking to anybody here? Is this striking a chord? Peer pressure is one of the ways that the world gets us to conform. But a second way that the world gets us to conform is propaganda. What is propaganda? Do you know what that word means? Well, again, I had to look this up in the dictionary. But if you did look this up, well, propaganda means this: information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote a particular point of view. Propaganda, information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote a particular point of view. That's what the world does. That's what the world employs to get us all to conform. Biased and misleading information to promote a particular view. What is the view? What is the message of the world? Well, the message of the world, of course, is that you don't need God. You can go your own way. You can do your own thing. You're a good person. The world is good. The world is full of propaganda that the world is nice, that there are no sinners. You see this on the TV and the movies. Everybody is good at heart. If only they had a chance. There are no sinners in this world. That's the propaganda that you see on the TV and the media. There are no sinners. And conform to this idea. Everybody believes it. We're not sinful. But this is all propaganda, compelling us to conform to the way of the world. Propaganda that the Bible is wrong. How many documentaries do you see on the TV telling us that the Bible is false? It's all an ancient myth. How we shouldn't believe it. How we've all evolved. We haven't been created by God. We've all evolved. And they want to teach this in the schools. Teach the children. Get this into their minds. Control their minds. There is no God. We've just evolved. You don't owe God anything. You don't have to seek God at all. Just get this into their minds so that they can conform to everything. Dear friends, this is so sad. We believe, of course, that God is our creator. This is the truth. You know, your mind, this is a point that brings itself to realization when we think about these things. The mind is actually one of the greatest evidences that we have that we are created. Why do you have a mind? Why do you have a reasoning, rational mind? A mind that is unlike anything else on earth. A mind that is far above the animal kingdom. A mind that can meditate. A mind that can invent. A mind that can think and create. How do you have a mind? It's because you have been created by somebody who has a mind. A divine mind. God himself. It's not by evolution. It's not by mindless chance. How can mindless chance create your mind? Your mind has only come about because a divine mind has created you. Somebody who has a mind. He's the only one who can create a mind that we have. So these things, well, they are brought into the world so that we can conform against God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but we have been created. We have this obligation to seek the Lord. We have a great debt to God, and that includes every single one of us here. But let us just look at the second part of this verse, because time is running on. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is what has happened to a Christian. A Christian has been transformed by the renewing of his mind, the renovation of his mind. The mind has been made new, and it's only God who can do that. I can't do that. No preacher, no minister can transform your mind. It's only God who can do this. Your mind was created by God for good. Your mind was created by God to think upon pure things, upon good things, things that are clean and pure. That's why God gave you a mind, not to think about sinful things, not to think about unclean things. Your mind was created for good, to think about God, to meditate upon the things of God, to know him and to love him. Your mind was never meant to sin. Now, I was talking about mental health yesterday at the Jude conference and about mental illness. But, you know, it would be true to say that sin itself is a mental illness, because your mind was never created for sin. Sin is an intruder upon your mind. It's a sickness of the mind. That is what sin is. To commit sin, it's not rational. To do things that harm others, when you sin, you harm others. Is that rational? To commit sin that harms yourself, so much sin harms yourself. And yet you do it anyway. This is the great irrationality of it. This is the great insanity of it. So often we know when we commit sin what the consequences will be. We know the damage it will do. We know how people will be hurt if they hear about our sin, but we do it anyway. That's insanity. That's an illness, a mental illness. Sin itself can be classed as a mental illness, a disorder of the mind. Sin is not rational. And then, of course, to reject the gospel, is that rational? When you turn away from the gospel message, to turn away from this message of knowing God, the true and living God, to be blessed by him, to know that peace that this world cannot give, only God can give it, that joy that God can give, you turn away from it. That's not rational. And you turn away from the love of God, the salvation of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ has come. You hear about these things. The second person of the triune Godhead, God himself comes down into this world for you. to suffer and to die for you, to take upon himself the punishment for sins that you have committed, so that you may be forgiven and live eternally with God. That's the depth of his love. And you just turn away from that, from love, from the love of God. I'm going to turn away and I'm just going to sin myself to destruction. That's not rational. That's complete insanity. God loves us so much. He sent his only begotten son. Oh, I'm just going to go my own way. Surely you're not in your right mind. Do you know what the consequences are? Well, we speak about this so often. The eternal consequences of turning away from Christ. Well, it is a lost eternity. It is an eternity in hell. And dear friends, that is so very sad. You know, in hell, there is a kind of conformity. In hell, everybody will be thinking the same thing. Everybody in hell will have the same mind. What will they be thinking? Why did I never turn to God? Why did I never seek God? Every single person in hell will be entirely conformed to the same thinking. Why did I never turn? It was my fault. I heard the gospel. I knew my sin. I just could never be bothered. I dismissed it. Every single person thinking the same thing. Be not conformed to this world, dear friends, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Come to Christ. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Use your mind to remember all your sins and bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I remember all my faults this day. Forgive me all my sin. Wash and cleanse me, O Lord, because I know, I trust, I believe that when Christ died, it was for me. He took the punishment instead of me. And then, well, the Lord will do that glorious work in you. You will be transformed. And even this verse explains how you are transformed in some way. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Your mind will prove, will demonstrate, will be focused upon those things that are good. No longer will you think upon sinful things, but things that are pure and honest and lovely. You will think upon those things that are good and acceptable to God. You know, a Christian believes many things that are not acceptable to the world. If you go out and you tell somebody what you believe as a Christian, that we're all sinners, that there are great sins in the world that the world celebrates, that's not acceptable to them, but it's acceptable to God. And we prove, that's what we think upon, that's what we believe, that which is acceptable to God. That's our only concern, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, you surrender your will to God. You stop living for yourself, for your own ambitions. You say, Lord, thy will be done. In other words, well, you stop conforming to the world and you start conforming to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you start conforming to. He's the one who prayed, Father, thy will be done, not mine. And that's what every Christian prays. That's what every Christian thinks. No longer are we conformed to this world, but now we are conformed to the image of our dear Savior. These are glorious things, dear friends. So I leave this with you. What group are you in? Are you conformed to this world, or have you been transformed by the renewing of your mind? You know, you can come to church, you can dress very well, you can sing the hymns very loudly. But you know, sometimes people come to church and do everything that is required of them, but actually their minds are still conform to the world. They still think like the world. They still love the world. They still think that people in the world are good. They don't believe in all this talk about sin. They still believe in the principles of the world, the morals of the world. They look very religious, but they're still conformed. They still think like the world. Is that you? You say you're a Christian, but your mind has never been renewed, never been transformed by the grace of God. You're still in slavery to this world. If that is the case, you're still conformed. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greatest thing for mental health, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that renewing that only the Lord can give you. Well, may the Lord bless all these things to you.